sorry.
CITR 101.9 FM, Inkstud's the radio show about comics. This is a cluster nut day. I was going to say a swear, but I'm being good today. Today's guest is, now I hope I get this right. I was given instructions ahead of time by Miriam. Camila Del Rico, or DeRico.
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 Yeah,
I keep on saying down. She apparently, she was telling me that your mother was very strict when you were a kid.
Well, it's the Italian name. You have to pronounce it like poetically, like beautifully. Camila. Yeah, that's, if you can do that, you get bonus points.
Woo! If you're listening, Mom, hopefully I got it right. Your latest comic is Burn, as well, Nightmares and Fairy Tales. And what else you got? Oh,
Avril Lavigne, Make Five Wishes.
Yes, the Avril Lavigne.
Doesn't sound as lame as it actually is. Just so you know, it's actually like really good. It's not just about, you know, celebrity singing and blah,
about
blah.
The skater boy.
Yeah, no, no skater boys. None. Actually, one boy, but he gets burned. Yeah, it's kind of sad. My stories are rather morbid. They're a little angsty.
That's okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, we're just after the little punk rock show, so we'll stick with the angst.
Okay.
This is part of my month-long focus on Canadian cartoonists and your Vancouverite, and one of the few Vancouverites that actually made the trek out to the station, so it's nice to have you come and join us this week.
Yes. Yeah, thank you for having me.
I guess we'll start out with a bit of biographical information about you. So how did you get into comics and art? And because you're also a painter as well.
Yeah. I have two careers. You know, I have the painting career, which is always galleries in the States. And then I've got the comics, which I actually started first and I love a lot. I didn't mean to be a painter. It just sort of happened. I really was just trying to focus on comics. And then I did some snowboard designs. And then after that, that's how my painting career started. But comics actually started when I was 16, 17, and there was this kid in my high school class, and he wanted me to draw this comic about Jesus and Satan teaming up, and because he saw me drawing, like, dragons in art class, because it was the 80s, dragons in spandex, man.
Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah.
Dragons in spandex.
Well, it defined the 80s, come on. Early 90s, actually.
Did you play Double Dragon?
No.
Okay.
I didn't.
The Nintendo game.
Oh, no, but I did play a lot of Icarus.
Oh, Icarus was pretty awesome.
Totally. It had eggplants, like killer eggplants.
Eggplant's pretty killer to me, another. It's just something about it that frightens me.
Really? Oh, no, like a purple vegetable. What more could you ask for? It's like the best.
No purple vegetable. Okay.
But, so anyway, back to the comics. So I had never even considered doing comics. I wanted to be an animator. And then I started reading Witchblade and The Darkness, which are like really, they were really great back in the day. And now they've like, oh, they're horrible. And, I hope Top Cow isn't hearing this.
We can't speak ill of the dead.
No. Of the dead.
Didn't Michael Turner?
Oh, Michael Turner. No, Michael Turner.
He just passed away.
I know he did. I'd had a chance to meet Michael, and he was such a wonderful guy. So, no, but actually, it was his part on Witchblade that made it, like, awesome. You know, thumbs up all the way. And I was so sad when he stopped the series. And, but so after like getting into comics, I couldn't stop. I was completely addicted to them. And it took actually going to San Diego Comic-Con in 1998. So this is like my 10th year going.
Oh, wow.
Yay for the 10-year anniversary. I fell in love. I totally fell in love. And went there with like the lamest portfolio. I had Darkness versus Pikachu. Which... it's maybe not so lame now, but at the time, oh yeah, and then there was like Wolverine and Spider-Man with his like the lame outfit he used to have.
The black one?
No, it was his clone.
Oh no.
Dude, I love that one.
Oh.
And I showed the portfolio and all the editors were like, that's bad. Like that his outfit sucks. I was like, I didn't design it and I loved it, so I didn't even whatever.
Were they snobs. Mean?
They were mean. They loved the Pikachu. So that landed me a job that actually never got published. It was, actually, they still say they're going to publish it, but I'm like, well, it's been like, 9 years. So
what was it? Do you want to say?
Yeah, well, if it ever comes out, it's called 7-7. And I'm really proud of it at the time because it was my first 4-issue miniseries. Like, wow.
Yeah. Bam.
Yeah, it's like, here, you are the lead artist. I'm like, God, that's awesome. But yeah, it still hasn't been published. It's going to be, I've been told. It's going to be. I have some faith.
Who's the publisher? So people can complain.
No, I can't. Well, the publisher, actually, it might not actually be their fault. It's just been handed from like publisher to publisher.
Oh, okay.
So, but it's at Angel Gate Press right now.
I have no idea who that is.
Well, yeah, it's a small publisher, But it's okay. If it ever does come out, I may be a little embarrassed by it. I mean, my first drawings, come on, be kind, that's all I ask.
So how did your first stuff being pretty crude and rudimentary, did you go to art school?
I did. But I never went to a school that taught me how to draw comic books or cartoons. So even doing animation, it was like bring in your own skills, basically. Like however you draw is how you would animate. And so no one actually taught me. I had to learn from emulating artists like Michael Turner, you know? Oh, God, I was such a Turner buff. And so I learned from, like, just from them. And then I kind of got tired of the North American style because everybody was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started to develop my own style, which is now manga, which is very Japanese.
So were you into Japanese stuff when you're a young lassie?
Yeah, well, I had my Sailor Moon moments. And Astro Boy, you know? Astro Boy kicked ass.
Tezuka, man.
Yeah.
It's Tezuka.
Come on. Tezuka. I mean, it was a little strange to see a little robot boy just wearing pant, like short, like what would like Speedo and boots. But that might be strange here, but apparently there it was like awesome. So, but yeah, and then actually, you know what really traumatized me? It was Fist of the North Star. Did you ever see that?
You know, I never actually read it.
Oh my God. I played the game. And you punched people and their heads exploded. They'd be like, and then they'd explode. That was like the best thing I've ever seen when I was a kid. So it was like the first anime video game I ever played. But yeah, after sorry, after graduating from Astro Boy and Sailor Moon, I started to read comics that were more and like underground, I guess, even for that genre, you know, for manga. So I actually like comics that aren't necessarily popular. You know, I do like Naruto and those like big time ones, but most of the ones that I like are artists that aren't really known here.
Well, like?
Oh, like Tsunomu Nihei, actually. It took me a hell of a long time to pronounce that. I might
Tsunomu
still be.
Tsunomu Nihei.
Yeah, Nihei. Nihei. I think I'm still butchering it though. But he actually did a Wolverine comic. He did Snicked.
Oh, yeah. The one with Greg Rucka.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic stuff.
I know. He's amazing. So I picked up his issues of Blame, and I totally recommend them. They're violent, gory, sick, and wicked.
Dude!
Yeah! Blood! So I like him, and then Rangi Murata, who actually does a lot of anime. So he does a lot of character designing for anime and for games and stuff, too.
Is that something you've gotten into, doing games?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, I do a lot of character designs for games now. I have a Nintendo DS game that's coming out. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the dorkout hour.
Oh,
this is great.
Oh, I know. I'm like a nerdaholic. I can't help it. I need to go to meetings. But
They have a meeting. It's called Comic Conventions.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, it's
you're
not
going
helping.
To the biggest one next week.
Yeah, tell me about it. I'm excited.
I've never been.
That's shameful, actually, for someone who loves comics.
I would probably get angry, though.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the movie merchandising media thing, and I'm more about just the comics medium itself and not really into the peripheries. And
yeah, it sort of did take over. Well, 10 years ago, back in the day, it was it was all about comics. And there was very little movie in there. And it wasn't that big. It was I think, one-third the size, one-quarter the size it is now. But, yeah, it was all about comics. And, you know, the artist alley was actually cool. Like, now it's like a dead zone. I don't really go into Artist Alley anymore.
Really?
Yeah, like the artists will have their tables, but they won't be there.
Oh, because they're all out shopping.
Yeah.
They all want to get the freebies and the...
Hell yeah, the swag. Yeah, there's tons of swag. They've got like a whole section upstairs with swag.
Stuff we all get.
Yes.
I think I'm going to play a song.
Okay,
A
cool.
quick track. What's track three going to be? What are we going to hear there? What do you want to hear off this?
Well, just play track three. I threw it on there. I can't remember.
All right. Inkstead CITR 101.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Je mais tu ne m'intéresses pas. Folle de toi, surtout quand tu pars. Fou de moi, j'y vais de ce pas. Je ne veux pas d'un amour sans faille. Trop parfait, tu ne m'intéresses pas. Folle de toi, surtout quand tu pars. Fou de moi, j'y vais de ce pas. Fou est tellement évident que je ne trouve plus de sens à ce jeu excellent. Si bon, mais si la science. Tu aimes me manipuler et j'aime en faire autant. Nous sommes toutes victimes de ce doux jeu d'amour. Je me perds parfois, souvent c'est bien fait. Et tu caches ta joie parce que tu m'as eu comme une proie. T'es des gens qui ne tirent pas de son du piège grossier et facile d'un charmant garçon. Mais c'est vraiment trop facile. Dès que tu souris, tu me fascines comme un aimant sur un fil de fer tendu et habile. Mais c'est vraiment trop facile. C'est ma pomme qui te fascine. Je tourne le dos pour partir. Tu sais qu'elle n'est pas assez.
We're just talking about Spike and Mike's and
Sick and Twisted.
Sick and Twisted. Who doesn't love Spike and Mike's?
I don't know. No one I know, because everyone I know is cool.
There we go. Yeah. I'm not very cool, but I pretend to be. This week's guest is Camila DiRico.
Beautiful.
Bella. Now, you're a local Vancouver artist, and for folks that are interested in meeting you, mm-hmm. you're going to be at the art gallery on the weekend, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll be there on Saturday for Squidhead, which is part of the Anime Crazy festival or exhibition.
Crazy.
Yeah. Crazy. Is it just crazy?
Just crazy.
Ah.
Crazy with manga, anime, comics, graphic novels,
yes.
visual art, and more.
Yeah, it's very fun. So,
visual art and art, at which point Art Spiegelman got very offended going, so what differentiates comics from art?
Well, I'd have a few fine arts teachers that could give you a rundown of that. I had a fight with my teachers, I think, the entire time I was in college. No, comics are art. They are. And then it was vindicated once they went to France and saw the massive amounts of graphic novels. And I was like, yeah, that's right. I told you.
Own it. We go into Angoulême, bitches.
Oh, you can say bitches. Good. I wanted to say bitches, but I held back.
I don't know. Can we say bitches?
Fuck yeah.
Excellent.
And if I get in trouble, that was Muriel from We All Fall Down every Thursdays from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock on CITR.
You give me a call. Give me a fucking shitty call.
Get out of here.
Have a good one.
I like her. She's got a trucker's mouth.
Yeah, I think she is a bit of a trucker. She's got the trucker speed habit.
Yeah.
So Squidhead,
yes.
It's the odd, for people that don't know what it is, odd sculpture that's like kind of a bunch of back of vans put together,
yeah.
facing each other.
Yeah, you have to actually go in, and I'll be there with Cloudspace.
Cloudscape.
Cloudscape, sorry. And, we'll have, stuff to sell. So I'll have my comics and then my prints and sketchbooks and stuff you can't get online.
Word.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I spoil my Vancouverites. They get stuff that no one else gets.
Yeah, well, you tend to come with a big setup at the local comic conventions.
Oh, my God. I can't help it. I'm, a merchandising little, master. I have a dungeon of people working for me.
They're all chained to death.
Yeah, that's right. Minions. I really did put them to work to make, to help me make buttons and keychains and all that stuff. So, you know.
I think they're nowadays called an entourage.
Oh, well, excellent.
That makes you sound like you're like playa playa.
Oh, yeah, I'm a total pimp then. You know? Cool, I have my own entourage. Yeah.
There we go.
Nice.
So, what were some of your first comics that actually got published?
I did. I was part of an anthology called Threads, and that was my very first comic. And then there was, of course, 7-7, which hasn't seen the light of day. But after that, I did some self-publishing of The Fallen and then Tampopo, and I did a lot of cover art actually for Antarctic Press. So I was still doing comics that. But I was spoiled by doing like the covers and doing my own stuff. So I did those. I still have copies of The Fallen, but Tampopo is actually we're going to actually republish it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and longer, and which makes more and it's actually makes more sense now.
I think I have The Fallen.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I have Tampopo. I was trying to find. I couldn't find all I had was the stuff I picked up recently. I couldn't find the other stuff I have by you, unfortunately.
Yeah, and unfortunately Tampopo sold out. And then I didn't reprint. Wow. I'm evil. I know. Wow. I know. You had to get it at the time.
That's but okay.
Don't worry. I'll hook you up with it when it comes out.
Word.
Yeah.
So Tampopo Fallen. And at which point did you get hooked up with Avril Lavigne?
Avril Lavigne. It was shortly after Tampopo.
Because I do have personal issues with the fact of an Avril Lavigne comic. I'm just going to put it out there.
Give it to me. Come on.
I just find the concept of a comic about someone that has absolutely nothing to do with comics. It just seemed like such a marketing ploy. So how wasn't it a marketing ploy?
See,
challenge me here.
Okay, I will. And that's actually when they brought me the concept of doing an Avril Lavigne book, I was not keen. I'm like, okay, no, that's holy marketing, and they just want to expand, because apparently Avril has a lot of manga fans, and so they were just trying to tap into the market, and the only way that I would do the book was if I could concept the story myself, or work with a writer that we could create something that wasn't about, because, yeah, what does Avril Lavigne have to do with comics? Like, nothing.
It's like, all right, let's do a Barbie comic.
Yeah, let's just, actually, one story was pitched, which was about these kids who bump into Avril on the road and like become part of her band. I'm like, oh my God.
Avril's entourage.
Yeah, her entourage, right? And so this is when I was like, no, I have to work with a writer that can get a little deeper than that. And so ended up working with Joshua Dysart, who does, he just did Hellboy and he did Conan. And I don't know if you know about his writing, but it's really good. It's like really, really fantastic. So he's done a lot in the comics.
Did he do which Hellboy stuff? You got it right.
BPRD. Yeah, okay, good.
Which BPRD story did he do?
It was just the most recent one, actually.
Okay.
It was based in the past when Hellboy was still like a little kid or a little demon, and
a little guy.
The little guy. Yeah, yeah. So he's actually not really part of the story that he wrote in that one. Hellboy takes like a side character. He's not even in it.
Well, BPRD is more about the team than about
Hellboy, exactly, so. Right, so it was about there was Nazis, of course there's Nazis,
there was
in Hellboy.
Nazis and monsters and
yeah. But it was a but yeah, so that's the latest thing that he's done for Mignola. But you know, I had known him from the first time I went to Comic-Con, and he did some really great writing, and I just fell in love with it. And so anyway, I knew he could do something like this. And he laughed at me too, actually. I did like basically twist his arm. I'm like, no, seriously, it'll be good. It'll be good. And he's like, I can't. He's like, I'm too busy. And I really bullied him. I bullied him into doing it. And I'm glad I did, because even though he pitched like 10 story ideas and I pitched the one and mine got chosen, he was still really awesome to work with, because we collaborated. We kind of meshed some of his ideas. So, but anyway, so the story... Sorry, total tangent moment.
That's okay.
We're
all about the tangents.
And you can just stop me at any time. You know, give me the little slap in the head. It's effective, believe me. So here's what I decided to do with the story, is that I didn't want it to be about Avril. I wanted it to be about a fan, because then that made more sense, and especially in manga, because the characters are usually young.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to do this introverted girl, and she's not really popular, and she has a really hard time at school. And so I thought that a character like that would relate to Avril, especially Avril like early on, you know. not like Avril now, but Avril, like when she was first starting and like she was, you know, breaking the mold, so to speak, of like the
quote unquote.
Yeah.
You know, like, and her designers were breaking the mold for her.
Yeah, I know. No, it's okay. I know you're looking at me and I'm like, oh, he's going to comment. So anyway, but, you know, fans don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So the story is really about this little girl who, very introverted, she spends most of her time online pretending to be other people and idolizing Avril Lavigne. And Avril's part in the story is to be, she's actually imaginary. She's this little girl's projection of what she thinks Avril will be or, like, should be. She's, like, her best friend. And so the story doesn't really involve Avril too much. It involves the little girl ordering a demon online. See? And the demon is a wishing demon. You know, based on, like, the monkey's claw, where you have, like, five wishes. And yeah, you have to break off the monkey's finger, but this is, like, the horn. And the wishes, like most wishes, go wrong, but they go wrong in the reality, like in realistic terms, because they're, you know, you can make a wish, but that wish isn't exact. It's an idealized version of what you want it to be, and this demon just
goes to shit,
absolute caca, and so the demon really just deconstructs her world, and Avril starts to fall apart in this little girl's mind. So. Does that help? Does that redeem me? Does that redeem the story? Because it's actually really
hearing the
good.
Demon sounds better. I mean, the title "Make Five Wishes." The first thing I think is like it's some kind of Make a Wish Foundation thing.
Oh,
so it's like that's a little more.
Yeah, that's a little better.
A little
darker. It was actually supposed to be called MakeFiveWishes.com, or just make. No, it was FiveWishes.com, and then they just changed it. They wouldn't let us do that. I'm like, what? And then it ended up just being make5wishes, not even .com. Joshua was like, what the hell?
Mother.
Yeah.
So it wasn't too much a comics by committee?
No, not at all. No. I mean, there were some moments when Joshua had scripted in some stuff, like there was this severed arm, and that couldn't be in there because it's too violent, and there was a melting, someone gets melted, and that wasn't in there. And
melting's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and Avril was on the toilet. Apparently, like, Joshua had scripted. See why I love working with him? He's just so twisted. And but actually, I and that was in book two, which I didn't get to draw. But in book one, I got to draw, like, the demon peeing and the little girl peeing in, like, in a parking lot, which I was like, is that kosher? Is that good? Is that
for kids?
Yeah. I'm like, usually little girls don't really want to pee in parking lots, but I'm like, whatever, I'll draw it. So.
And it made it through?
And it made it through. It is in there, baby. So.
Yeah.
I know. It's good stuff.
So when did you get more into doing the painting and the prints?
Oh, well, actually, see, the reason why I moved to Vancouver was to do illustration and design. So while I was doing the IDEA program at Cap College, I started to submit stuff to snowboard companies. And one of them, Ride, picked up my snowboards, and which was cool. I mean, they wanted me to do designs for them. And so I ended up going to Tinseltown, and the Aiden Gallery was there. And they were doing a snowboard show. So I wandered in there, and I was just like, ah, cool, snowboard show. I'm like, I do snowboards too. And Ken Lum, you know, who owns the Aiden, was like, really? Well, let's see your stuff. And so I came in with the drawings I had done for Ride, and they got put in the show and sold right away. And then he's like, can you do paintings on canvas? And I'm like, I can try. I can, sure. I'm like, why not? And that's when... And that's when I started doing actual paintings for galleries. It was just all from, like, wandering into a gallery, waiting for the movie to start.
Now, for folks in LA,
yes,
they can go see your paintings.
Yeah, I just had a solo show, actually, at Copernican in LA. And it's actually kind of a sad story, because Canada Post lost half my paintings that were supposed to go in the show.
Motherfucker.
I know. I cursed the heavens, and I was like, not a very happy person for, yeah. And so they're still lost. And it's been like 3 weeks. So they're going to get a nasty letter.
And is it the postal insurance even cover that much?
No, because you know what? They don't cover. See, they weren't bought, so they can only cover the cost of how much it costs to make them. Something I can like, I can produce the value of how much it costs to make the paintings instead of the total value, which hurts a lot because, you know, those were actually my biggest pieces I'd ever done, and I was so proud of them. Like, they were so detailed and awesome. There was even, like, a girl with a wasp nest on her head and a lamb sitting on top of it. I mean, how cool is that, you know? Oh, and they lost it, and I was so upset. But the show did really well. All of the colored pieces sold, and I do a lot of black and whites on canvas. So those are still, there's still some available at the show. But yeah, apparently, like, the show did really well. It wasn't a total loss, the fact that motherfucking postal service lost my painting. So
posties.
Yeah, yeah. Good news is, if they do get found, there's already buyers lined up for the painting. So
snap.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I'm like, okay, not a total loss. Not bad.
Things will work out.
Yeah, it could work out. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to play another track.
Okay.
And then we'll get back and chat with some more about art, fashion,
yes,
comics. Cool. CITR 101.9 FM, Ink Studs. And I don't even know what we're going to play. It'll be something. CITR 101.9 FM, Ink Studs, the radio show about comics. This week's guest is Camila DeRico.
Good, good.
And I got scolded during the music break because I am not doing my job. And what's the music we've been listening to?
Well, we've been listening to some of my favorite songs. And the first one was The Knife The Knife and or Heartbeats by The Knife. And then we listened to a French Asian pop song.
Is that like fusion?
Yes, it is.
Like
fusion.
The cooking?
Yes. It's great. I'm finding a lot of awesome like French music that's actually sung by Chinese or Japanese.
Really?
Yeah. It's
well, I enjoyed that track. So.
I thought so too. I thought you would. Yeah. And so that one was by Yel, and that was Seje. And then we just listened to You Say Party, We Say Die by, and that was Monster.
By local Vancouverites.
Yes, yes. I actually graduated with Derek Adams from the band. Yeah. So I went to their very first shows and supported. Yeah, it was
the
awesome.
Local scene.
Yeah.
As you all should. Support
yes.
your local bands and your local cartoonists.
Yes, indeed. Buy all of our stuff.
There we go. So go down to the Vancouver Art Gallery, to the Squid Head, and also mm-hmm. August 24th, you will be at the Comics and Stories.
Yes.
In the Vancouver Art Gallery.
That's right. That's right.
Which is going to be really neat. I don't know if you've been in the rooms, but they're old courtrooms. So they still have the judges stand in there?
Really? No, I haven't been in there yet. I know. Get out. That's awesome. Yeah,
that's the same rooms where we're doing the Ink Studs A Night with Deitch.
Very cool.
Inkstuds.com.
Yes.
Yeah. Check it out, yo. Now, most recently, you have, you've been doing Nightmares and Fairy Tales, which mm-hmm. is kind of someone else's comic that you've been drawing.
Yeah, that's right. It's Serena Valentino's, and I'm the third artist in the series. And the first artist, FSC, she's a Korean artist. She was one of my favorites when I was, like, first starting comics. And when Serena actually emailed me, she emailed me personally to be, you know, she's like, would you like to do the comic? And I was like, oh, this is a joke. Because it's my favorite comic. Like, Nightmares and Fairy Tales is one of the only North American comics that I read. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I didn't even respond. I was like, whatever. It's some, you know, one of my friends being, like, assholes. And I'm like, I'm not even going to respond. And then when I realized that it wasn't a joke, I was like, I emailed her back. And I'm like, I am in. You know, I will do it. I don't care. You know, we don't get paid for the work we do. With SLG, we get paid, like, royalties, which aren't that great. So basically, it's free.
Yeah, slave labor graphics.
Exactly, yes. And but they're really great to work with, you know. They're wonderful, wonderful people, and
When I was at Emerald City, I ran into the Dan Vado.
Oh, yeah,
I was getting pizza, and he sat next to me like, oh, I know your comics. And then we talked about Evan Dorkin for half an hour, about how mean he is, but a wonderful person nonetheless.
Very nice. Yeah. Dan is actually awesome. He's like the bull of SLG. I heard one time he told me a story that he smashed this guy's camera because he kept following around one of the artists, the artist of Lenore, and I was just like, oh man, like he just kept following him around the whole convention, and he ended up back at the booth, and Dan just grabbed the camera and like smashed it. I was like,
awesome.
Oh.
It's weird. Those guys, Roman and Honan, they get a some big followings.
They do.
All the
they do.
Awkward goth kids. God
one of
bless.
Them passed out last year in front of Roman. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
oh my God! Oh my God, it's Roman! No. Actually, that would have been hilarious. Apparently, she had given too much blood. And and the excitement of being in front of Roman made her pass out. She just like fell right over, and I was there signing with Serena, and we kind of like we all look over and we're like, did she just really like pass out?
See, oh my God,
this is why you have to come to Comic Con. Like, camera smashing, girls passing out, blood donors just not knowing their limits. No donuts for her apparently. So yeah, it was
that's
awesome.
A good goth kid.
Yeah she was committed, man. So, but yeah, no, like, Slave Labor is totally awesome. They're really, really nice to work with. And Serena, oh my gosh, she's such a sweetie. She is such a sweetie. She couldn't believe that I actually wanted to do the book because she's like, well, you're not going to get paid. I'm like, oh, that's okay. She's like, really? like, yeah, I'm down. I'm a huge supporter. So actually, we just wrapped up the last issue. 23 just came out of the entire series. So
it's done.
And it's not because I killed the series. Just so you know, it's because Serena decided to move on and do other work. So she decided to end the series.
Do you know what she's going to be doing next, or can you say?
Well, not details too much, but I know that she's been working with Disney.
There we go.
Yeah.
Indeed. Now, your solo comic, which is at issue 2 now, I'm presuming.
Actually, issue 3 is coming out very soon.
Okay.
I think it's going to... Well, I got a big box of them, so I'm assuming it's going to come out very soon.
Burn from formerly local...
Yes. Arcana Studios.
Arcana.
You know, I Banana. Should ask...
Banana.
Rhinoceros, rhinosaurus, you know.
Rhinosaurus,
nice. So this is actually a 6-issue miniseries, and it's my first creator-owned that's been published by a company, and really, really excited about it, because I actually started this, like, years ago, but as most creator-owned stories go, and you're not getting paid for it, they take a while to, like, produce.
It sat in the shelf for a while.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. And but it's all done now. Issue 6 is being finalized, and I can't talk about too many of the details.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently, people really like the book, so which is good. And it's been I'm gonna just cross my fingers, but picked up by a large book publishing company. So it'll be actually a graphic novel published like worldwide.
Nice.
You know,
I thought for a second, like a movie company.
Yeah, there's talks of a movie right now.
Well, that would explain being published by Arcana.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Sean is all about the licensing.
Yeah.
Which is okay with me. I'm all right with that. You want to license it, make a movie, make a game? I'm down.
It's great for stuff to get licensed, but it bugs me when comics are made to be licensed products.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. You got to do it for the comic, and if, like, you know...
I'm not opposed to people wanting to make it into a movie, but I do know what you mean. Like, when I first started this, it wasn't to make it into anything. It was just because I wanted to tell a story that was really different about cyborgs. Because, you know, cyborgs tend to be just like, you know, killing, robot, whatever. Not very interesting to me. Oh, killing is interesting. What can I say? But it was just more about actually... deconstructing this child's mind and state of mind, because his body is taken over by this machine. So he's used as a battery, and he's prisoner in his own body. And I was like, wow, what would actually happen if a 13-year-old kid, like, that would happen to him? So a lot of the book actually takes place in the subconscious, which is cool. No backgrounds, just black. Yay! All artists love that.
It's called the Ashley Wood technique.
I love Ashley Wood. I love his stuff. Can you tell? Yeah. So hopefully Burn will get made into a movie. And, you know, Sean is trying to get me to be part of it. So, which I really want to be, because if it's going to be a movie or be anything, I'm not going to let it turn into, you know, Daredevil, the movie.
We're not going to see Ben Affleck coming in.
No.
Hi, I'm a cyborg teenager.
Oh, my God. I think I'd just choke on my own vomit if that happened. Ben Affleck. Ugh.
Baffleck.
He's just horrible.
Please don't take offense, Mr. Affleck.
No, please don't. It's just your acting. Your directing is great, you know? I loved Gone Baby Gone. No?
No, it's all good.
Yeah,
it's good.
I liked it.
Yeah.
He can direct his brother. It was good stuff.
But his brother's a good actor.
His brother's a fantastic actor. Casey Affleck, yeah.
I liked him in that, the one about Jesse James.
The one with Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
Oh, I never saw it. I heard
it. It was good.
Really?
One of my favorite guys, Nick Cave, was in there at the end.
Really?
Yeah, he had a nice long sing-song walking around a bar with an acoustic guitar.
Really?
Yeah. Better than the last 4 albums he's put out. So
wow. Cool. Now I might watch it. Cause
it's slow. It is a slow movie, but I enjoyed
it. That's okay. I like strange movies, too. Especially, Asian movies. Have you seen Old Boy?
Yeah.
Everyone's seen that, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's like the standard.
Absolutely. And like, just Lady Vengeance is my...
I haven't watched those yet.
Really good.
Yeah. There's like more than one, right?
Yeah. There's Lady Vengeance, and then there's... But there's a Mr. Vengeance, too. I can't never remember the title of that one, though. Damn it.
Dude Vengeance.
Dude Vengeance, yeah. And actually, I saw... I really like that the studio that produces those movies, so they make some really good horror movies. Very scary.
Fantastic. What are they, Korean? Most of them?
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic movies. Don't have too much time left, but what are some of the drawing tools you like to use?
The Bic pen.
Really?
Yeah. I use the non-repro blue pencil, and then I go straight to a Bic pen. I cannot be bothered with pencil. It just smudges. It smears, and it's like... It's horrible. But Bics, you know, they're long-lasting. They don't smudge, and they look like pencil. So I'll use that, and then a lot of whiteout. a lot of whiteout.
A lot of huff and whiteout.
Yes, yeah.
Anything else to look forward to in the future from you?
Yeah, I've got a series of handbags that are coming out with Oso Design. It was just in Taipei, actually, launching the bags. And so
that's pretty awesome.
It is, yeah. This is the bag there. I'll show you later. And so I've got that, and we're probably going to do a launch here in Vancouver. And then let's see.
Where's the launch going to be at?
Haven't decided yet. Oh. And if I say it out loud, maybe
you'll jinx it.
Yeah, I'll totally jinx it. But it'll be posted on my blog, and you know.
And your website is CamillaDerrico. Camila DeRico.
DeRico.
I keep saying Del. I don't know why.
I don't know why you stick an L in there, but...
It's something wrong with me.
I think so. Oh, and then also I should say that I'm also going to work with Grant Morrison starting in the summer. Yeah. We're working on a new...
I love Grant Morrison.
I know, and he's so intense, you know, Scottish, and I'm kind of
fanatical. So
really?
We'll talk.
Oh, definitely. But yeah, so that we're actually meeting in San Diego with Karen Berger of Vertigo Comics, you know, because she really wants me, like, we're all going to get together, chat about it, and get started. And,
nice.
Yeah, and then after that, I'm working on a graphic novel series that's based on an upcoming movie that is going to be produced by a pretty big company in the States, like a, you know. I can't say who.
Now the Grant Morrison thing is going to be Vertigo thing.
Vertigo, yeah.
Awesome.
Very cool.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm so excited.
It's a reminder for folks. Go down to the Vancouver Art Gallery on Saturday and come say hi. And, I think we're going to play that Wolf Parade song.
Nice.
Only 4 tracks were available in there. I don't know why. So we'll end off the show with some Wolf Parade. And keep listening. Yeah. Instead, CITR 101.9 FM.
Yeah, thanks for having me over.
Thanks for coming. And next week, I think I'm going to be playing an interview I did with Chris von Zombathy last month, which is really nice. And part of my month-long Folks in Canadian stuff. I was going to throw up some new interviews. I recently interviewed Miriam Libicki.
Yeah, love Miriam.
Local young lady, and some other talented Canadians, Kate Beaton, and but my website was down because of that fire in downtown Vancouver for like 5 days, so I'll be posting stuff this weekend. And the week after that, on the 31st, I think it is Scott Chandler, whose book The Northern Passage is another fine look at Canadiana. And next month, Craig Yao, Mark Vanier, and more. Stay tuned. Keep rocking. Crime Street is up next. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah.